بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We were reading the hadith of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas رضي الله تعالى عنه, where he felt he will be passing away in Makkah Sharif, and he asked for instructions with regard to his inheritance. And then also Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained the relevant point to this chapter, that is about our intentions, and also about the migration from Makkah Sharif to Medina Sharif, and the perfect migration that a person, even if he can come back to Makkah Sharif, but he still prefers to return, and his amal that he made, his sacrifice, his migration, that he leaves it complete. So further points and valuable information that is given. Yeah, we read, perhaps you will be left behind, so that some people will benefit from you while others will be harmed by you. That was part of the hadith, the translation of part of the hadith, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that some people will benefit because of him, others will be harmed. This actually is a prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and is amongst those special things which Allah had blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he informed of things that will happen in the future, but not everything that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam was, is not alimul ghaib, that is only Allah Ta'ala. But Allah informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam of many things which we do not have knowledge of. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu will survive his illness at that time in Makkah Sharif, and lived until he conquered Iraq also and Madain also. So he felt at that time that he was going to pass away. His illness was so severe that he asked questions about his inheritance, etc. Further, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu also asked whether he would be left behind after his companions leave Makkah Mukarramah, out of concern that the sacrifice of migrating from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara for Allah's pleasure may not be rewarded if he passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. That is, at that time he was ill, and the rest of the Sahaba after the Hajj will be returning and going back to Medina. So he was wondering, if I get left behind here, everyone is gone, and I die here in Makkah Sharif, which is also blessed, but I made hijrah for Allah's sake, and I went to Medina, and I want it to be complete, and I want it to last right to my last moment. That I don't come back on my word, and I come back to Makkah Mukarramah, and that I die in Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lamented over Sa'd ibn Khawla radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, because according to some ulama, he did not migrate and passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. That was Sa'd ibn Khawla, that he did not migrate and he stayed behind, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then lamented that he will be left behind. According to that narration of Bukhari, he migrated, participated in Badr, and then returned to Makkah Mukarramah, where he passed away. According to others, he migrated to Abyssinia, participated in the Battle of Badr and other battles, and passed away in Makkah Mukarramah during the Hajjatul Wada. So there are different narrations, but that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Sa'd ibn Khawla will pass away and remain in Makkah Sharif, and that he will not get that full hijrat, his migration will not be the full and complete one. A few additional points are mentioned here. A testator is allowed to bequest up to 1/3 of his estate. Of our estate, 1/3 we are allowed to give it out to other people besides the heirs. The heirs have got the fixed shares from Allah Ta'ala. And this is also a very important point, that we make our will, it's a very great ibadat of having one's will ready. And the will, we should make sure that we have it checked by Mufti, so that it is not in conflict with Sharia. And those that are our immediate family, like the wife, sons, daughters, etc., Allah Ta'ala has fixed their shares. It's not up to us that I want to give this one so much and that one so much. that Allah Ta'ala has fixed already. But besides the heirs that do inherit, we are allowed to give up to one third. Like in charity to a masjid, to a madrasa, etc., we are allowed to give. But we should add to have our wills ready. As soon as we are baligh and we possess something, we should try and have a will. And if we keep it by our head side, it will help us to remind us of our death also all the time, and that we keep our matters clear. A bequest cannot be made in favor of an heir. A person who is a natural heir, according to the Quran Sharif, there is no bequest. You can't give him of that one third. I give my daughter so much extra, I give my wife so much extra. We are not allowed. Allah has fixed that, and only that amount. This one third is for people besides the heirs. The wisdom of this ruling lies in Islam's excellent model of wealth distribution. An heir automatically benefits from the estate by his allocated share of it, and other, that is, the heir already gets. Allah has fixed his share. So to distribute the wealth fairly over everyone, Allah has allowed one third that you can give to other people. And others should therefore be allowed to receive a portion of the deceased estate. So Islam has made this perfect system that the heirs are going to receive, and it has allowed also up to one third that you can give to others also. Also we learn from here, a leader should visit and console those of his subjects who are ill. Anyone, not only ill, who is in difficulty, and anyone in any leadership position, it is like Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and visited Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And we read of many other occasions when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's beloved Rasul, what a high position, much, much more higher than the Sahaba also radiyallahu anhum. Therefore, whoever is in such a position, he should go and visit those who are under him and console them. Another point, it is permissible to gather wealth for permissible reasons, and it will not be regarded as hoarding if the rights of that wealth are fulfilled. A person accumulates wealth, no matter how much he accumulates, Islam permits that. But the rights of that wealth must be fulfilled, that is, the zakat must be paid. And that wealth must not only be hoarded for no reason. Islam, one of the reasons, ulama have explained that zakat is compulsory, that a person doesn't sit with that money, but that he invests it and many other people benefit. For example, he's got about 20 million rand. Instead of just sitting with that, he invests it in some business, some factory. So how many other people will be working there? They are all going to benefit also. Their families are going to benefit. So Islam's system is an automatic system that people don't sit with their money, but that they invest it, and that it turns around, and that the whole community, the whole country, in fact, benefits from it. Further also, joining of family ties and kindness to one's relatives is an integral component of Islam. This also, we are becoming very negligent with our new lifestyle that we lead. Previously, holidays used to be spent by family people. People should go out and visit the family. Now it's only resorts and it's only holidays, etc. And we don't visit the family. Visiting the family has become very rare also. May Allah give us all tawfiq. This is a very important part of sila rahmi, of keeping ties with one's family. It is more virtuous to join family ties with family who are close relatives as compared to distant relatives. Also, we are warned of the signs of Qiyamah, that people will give preference to their friends and they won't have time for their family. And unfortunately, that also today is exactly what is happening. We've got a lot of time for our friends, but for our family, there is no time. And the closer the family, our immediate family, our own children, they are married, we should give them more time. Then our brothers, our sisters, we should give them more time. Then distant family, etc. But today the whole family is just that we don't care about the family. And we are more concerned of friends, we are more concerned of excursions, we are more concerned of holidays, etc. Our youngsters today, if we tell them we're going to visit my khala, they're not interested at all. We're going to Mama, they're not interested at all. We're going to a resort, they are the first in the car. They jump in and they are just too happy. This is all a reflection of what we have got in our hearts. May Allah make us understand and live a proper Islamic life so that we can get the fruit of Islam. We are living a life that is opposite of Islam and we want the fruit of Islam. It does not work like that. We have to live a life of Islam to get the fruit of Islam. Many people, today we all our problems we want to solve also is according to Western modern systems. But Islam gave Islam Muslims the high position in the world. We are bending that system and we're following other systems and we expect the fruit of Islam. It never works like that. May Allah give us all tawfiq that we bring proper Islam into our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana.